So hi everyone, and welcome to our styling bonus as part of our photography course. And I'm really excited to introduce Cassie Hewitt. She is an Australian-based stylist, and she has worked with some awesome big name brands in Australia, including fashion retail, body products, food, and she is going to be sharing with us some of her pro tips and techniques that you can apply to really enhance your photos and to bring in some of your own style into your images so that the photos that you're sharing online and of your products look fantastic and on brand and you can really make them your own. So thank you so much, Cassie, for sharing with us. Okay, for those of us that don't know what styling is, can you just give us a really quick overview of what it means to style a photo shoot?
Sure. So ultimately the purpose of styling a shoot is to sell your product. That's the aim. So you want to make your product the hero and make it stand out. That's mm-hmm. the ultimate aim of styling.
Okay. And so do people usually take photos with things that complement the product, or do they prefer to take photos where just the product is, or is it about finding a balance?
It's about finding a balance. You can get some really awesome props out there, but you don't want the props to overpower your product.
Cool.
So if you're selling like a candle or something, use a nice like textured background or something like that, but don't go crazy.
Cool. So we might go into props in just a little bit. Okay. So styling is, as you said, to show off and make the product the hero of the shot. So what kind of different styles do we see in product photography specifically?
Oh God, there are so many. It depends what sort of product you're wanting to sell. Generally, if you were just showing off a product like a Mixmaster or something like that for a home, mm-hmm. you just do it as a contour, like on a plain white background. And that's the lighting becomes really important because you want the lighting to make the product look amazing. Mm-hmm. Where selling like a beautiful homemade crochet kids beanie or something really cute like that, you could do a bit more of a lifestyle. You could do it on a really cute flat lay style with a couple of props, or you could shoot it on talent as well.
Okay, so what is a lifestyle type styled shoot composed of? What does that mean?
Well, generally a lifestyle shoot is just a shot of your product but in situ. So it might be, you know, it's not a plain contour shot. So a contour is plain white. Lifestyle is you bring in a bit of a textured background, shoot it a bit differently. You can even light it differently, have some props, you know, all that sort of thing.
And so the purpose of a lifestyle shoot, is that to show it in a way that people can imagine themselves using it?
Correct. Absolutely. Yeah.
And so if you were setting up a lifestyle, let's say for cool kids designer bedroom wear,
yeah,
I guess you wouldn't just find a plain old bedroom and throw the nice accessory in there. What's the goal for showing off the product most effectively?
Well, you'd probably, generally that sort of shoot would be done in studio. Mm-hmm. So you'd basically build a room set.
Okay.
So you'd bring in some wall flats, you'd bring in a bed, you'd bring in some really cute props, you know, fashion a window, all that sort of thing, but generally you would still make the bedding the hero.
If you have, say, like a cushion that you're selling, yeah, and the person, and it's an expensive cushion, you would match what you put in the room to be like the kind of room that that client would have for their kids. So it would be all fancy type things.
Absolutely. So if you do have a beautiful cushion to sell, how I would style that is probably in a room set, but on a really nice, beautiful designer chair. Mm-hmm. And crop in on the cushion. So
okay.
It's all about as well.
Yeah. And so is it important to match the aesthetic, or I guess the tastes of people, yeah, that you want to buy your product to the way that you style the set?
Yeah, I think so. You can't let your personal tastes get too much in the way of how you would use it, because mm-hmm. it's got to appeal to such a broad range of people. So generally your client would give you a bit of a brief of how they want the shot to look and you'd work to that.
Okay, awesome. So if someone is setting up to, say, create their own lifestyle shoot, how could they prepare, or what should they think about when they're assembling pieces to put in that lifestyle set?
I think a mood board's always handy. So okay. Start off with a mood board. Get the sort of style you're looking for. Go on Pinterest, gather all your inspiration together, pop together a mood board. Colours, definitely. So mm-hmm. you'd work out what sort of colour palette you want to go with, whether it be naturals or neons or pastels or something like that. And then go from there, depending on what sort of product you're selling.
Okay. Well, that's a really good point about the colour. How important is it to stick to a particular hue or a particular theme when you're taking beautifully styled shots?
It's pretty important. If you use too many and they don't complement each other, it's just going to look messy.
Okay. Yeah. Do you find with clients, if you're shooting a range of images, say if it was for a catalog shoot or to fill up someone's website, is it really important to maintain consistency through all the range?
That's very important. Very okay. important. So, you might use the same background on all your shots. Just okay. for that continuity. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You'd have consistent lighting for starters. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, that's a really good one.
Yeah. Don't make it like a really hard, sharp light in one shot and then a soft natural light in another. I think you've got to keep your lighting consistent. Mm-hmm. You could also use just one sort of prop. I mean, one thing that I really like to use is greenery.
Okay.
Selling like a skincare product, I like to put succulents or something in there in each shot just complement the flow of all the images.
Okay. Yeah. Succulents, I've noticed that they're really big at the moment.
They're huge.
Yeah. Well, speaking of succulents or using something like greenery, given that it's really on trend at the moment, do you think there are elements that are more, that have more longevity versus things that have short trends and then you'd have to update your photos more regularly?
Yeah, definitely. So succulents are really on trend at the moment and it's been going for quite a while. Mm-hmm. Same with the geometric sort of look. That's okay. been a while as well. But mm-hmm. if you want your photos to last longer, just go with a more classic style that's not too trend driven.
Okay. So classics being more neutrals or?
Neutrals, definitely. Nothing too crazy, nothing too fashion forward.
Okay, cool. But of course, if people are taking their own photos and they have the capacity to update regularly, then I guess putting in those trends can be something that is beneficial and can help them stand out versus people that are paying someone to take photos every season or whatnot.
Yeah, you've got your own creative license, so you can do whatever you want as often as you want if you're taking your own shots, which is really cool.
That is true. Okay, so that's talking about how to prepare pieces for a shoot so that we have a lot of consistency. Let's talk about props for a little bit. What tips do you have for people when they're assembling props for doing a shoot to show off their product?
Okay, so get your props before the shoot. Get them all planned out on the day of your shoot. Lay them all out so you can see everything that you've got. Don't go overboard with the props. I know a lot of stylists who just go crazy and get so many props it's not funny, and then I think they get confused about what to use.
Got it.
Excuse me. Keep it nice and simple, I think, is the key. But sourcing props is one of my favourite parts of a shoot.
Okay. So if you were doing a shoot, let's say for a handbag series. So I guess in this case the ideal client is a woman who's fairly fashion forward. What kind of props are you drawn to, or do you think have a lot of flexibility to use in those kind of shoots?
Okay, so I think what instantly comes to my mind there is prop with beautiful products that people might carry in their handbag. So a pair of sunglasses or a nice new phone or a really beautiful diary or a Moleskine notebook or something like that, just nice simple props that are going to complement the bag.
And do you think all the props have to be like really expensive luxury items, or can you be a bit more flexible?
Not at all. One of my favourite places to go for props is Kmart.
Oh, cool.
Or Target. Because they copy all the designer brands. So you can get them, and if you photograph them properly, they can look really high-end without being high-end.
Okay, that's good to know. Because I know when I've done shoots in the past, I've definitely gone a little bit overboard buying a lot of props because it's kind of fun to assemble them. And I guess the danger is too, when it comes to styling, we don't want to use too many props and then the product gets lost.
Correct.
So speaking of that, let's just say we were assembling a flat lay and we've got all our beautiful props to complement it. How do you actually make sure that those props don't overtake the product?
Well, you, for starters, you make the product the hero. So it would be central to the shot. And then what you might do is pop your sunglasses coming out of the bag or a notebook coming out of the bag with a pen or something like that. Nice and simple. So you don't want to put anything on top of the bag or cover it up.
Okay. So when you say make it central, does it physically have to be centrally composed in the shot?
Not necessarily.
Yeah.
I think it always works if you're, I think you can crop through a product, I think, while still making it the hero, which makes it not pretty interesting sometimes. But generally, if you're using it for a square format like Instagram or something like that, you'd probably make it more central.
Yeah. Okay. That makes sense. And so your tips were not to have other props like on top of the product and to have them either coming out or I guess like leaning into the product. I always like to talk about compositional elements leaning into the frame. So I guess that way they can lead the eye to the main subject.
Correct. Yeah, absolutely. Awesome.
Cool.
Yep.
So I guess another question I had was, can you tell us a little bit about shooting on location, which probably a lot of our people do, versus a studio setup? Is one, do you think, better than the other, or does one suit a particular type of subject better than another?
Yeah, it can do. I think clothing, if you're selling clothing or something like that, it usually probably works better on a location shoot. You're selling like a really cool boho style dress, for instance, that might work really well in a desert. Studio wise, you're not going to get that same effect. But location versus studio, I always prefer a studio shoot. Location shoots are really logistically harder, I think.
So, because when you said clothing, I thought, oh, she's going to say studio, because if you said, and we're not just talking about professional studio, you know, studio can be somewhere that you set up at home if it has consistent lighting and you can control the background really clearly. But I was thinking, oh, if you're taking clothes, then you want to have really consistent effects. But I guess that's the difference in, say, taking images for that like Amazon or catalog sameness of everything versus doing a styled shoot where we actually get a feel for the whole brand vision of the items. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. So if you're just doing a catalog shoot, generally that's usually done in studio.
Mm-hmm.
But there are also a lot of, mail order catalog brands with a lot of location shoots.
So are there many clients when they get professional photos taken for products where they actually want both? They want to include the very standard white background technical shot, I guess, so people can see clearly what it is, and have some styled images to let people get a feel for what it would look like in use or to add the feeling?
Yeah, definitely. So later on this month, I'm going to be working on a shoot for a bed brand, like a brand to make beds. And so we're going to be doing a 5-day shoot in studio of just the product. It's literally just the bed and bases, plain white background. They'll be contoured out for the website. And then you would generally have a lifestyle shot to complement those products.
Okay, yep.
So, yeah, each bed we shoot will have its technical sort of shots on the studio, and then we'll move on to a location and do the lifestyle shots, like in a beautiful house with natural light, lots of beautiful bedding on the bed and all that sort of thing.
Actually, that brings up a really good point, because if you had, say, a big item like a piece of furniture, that would be a perfect opportunity to collaborate with other brands that, say, made bedding or made bedroom pieces or bedroom art.
Yeah, definitely.
And so yeah. Do you, as a stylist then, do you have people that you work with, say like local artists or textile designers that you can recommend and say, oh, I know these beautiful pieces that will go with it?
Yeah, yeah, you can go. There are a lot of shops who hire out product for a 20% fee of the product. So you hire it, you take it for your shoot, and then you return it. But that's you still fantastic. Pay a higher fee. Yeah. So well,
do they expect anything else? Like, do they want copies of the photos, or are they happy with the 20% fee?
They're generally happy with the 20% fee. I think if they get copies of the photos or if they get a credit listing on the shot, then
even better.
But it's not like, yeah, they're generally a higher fee.
Okay, well, that's really handy to know that people could potentially approach local businesses and see if they could use pieces in their shoots. That's really handy.
Well, it's a win-win situation, because if your clients go to a beautiful store and they think, oh, you know, I've made a kid's beanie, but a really cute coat would complement this shot, mm-hmm. they can go to a kid's boutique and say, how would you feel about hiring out some garments for a photo shoot? I'll give you copies of the shots. So their product's being sold as well.
That's true. That is really handy. Thanks for that one. Okay, so let's chat a little bit about food photography, because I know you said you loved that, and we've definitely got people who are food bloggers or are health and lifestyle bloggers, so they love to take photos of food, not only the finished product, but also, I guess, the preparation.
Yeah.
So what are your top style tips for really showing off food beautifully? Because, again, food, I feel like, is one of those things you can take photos of and the light might not be very good. Or if you're taking photos of something like a curry or a stew, like, it's just not attractive. So how do you take something like that and then make it look gorgeous?
I've written some notes here actually on that. And one of my things was, if you are making a Thai curry, you actually can make that look really beautiful. Mm-hmm. You wouldn't pick it up how you would at home, for starters.
Okay.
What, you wouldn't just take a whole thing of curry and dump it into a bowl. You'd assemble it in the bowl, you know, layer it up. Layering's really important.
Okay.
If you're using a beautiful piece of fish in your curry, maybe lay that on top with a bit of, you know, some cilantro leaves and bean shoots or something like that, just so you get the texture. Mm-hmm. And I think it also helps if you lay show everyone what's in the dish. So pop a few little raw chilies around, or some kaffir lime leaves, or, you know, something like, or a little side dish of curry paste or something like that, to help show what has gone into the dish.
So when you say layering, you physically mean to layer the ingredients, or are you talking about the flatware or dishes that it might be in as well?
Well, actually, that can work for both. So layering up, you'd start, if you were shooting a beautiful curry overhead, I'd start with a great surface.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd start with maybe a beautiful placemat or some fabric or something that you can put your bowl onto.
Yeah.
And so you're building up your layers that way for your props, but then also layer the food up. You know, don't just dump it all in a bowl and expect it to, because it's not going to work.
Yeah, it won't.
Yeah.
So you could layer it, say, with some rice first, and then.
Yeah, or I'd show the rice in a side bowl on the side.
Yeah.
So you just, when I say layer, I mean how you might get it in a beautiful restaurant. You know, you'll get your curry, but then on top they'll put like a lime wedge and then some bean shoots and some coriander. Just get some texture in there. Layer up your textures.
Got it. And so is there a certain technique for having images? Like, one of the food people I love to follow is Jamie Oliver.
Yeah.
Because he like just takes beautiful food photos. And I actually think he does a lot of the photography himself. I've read that he has shot his own photos for lots of his cookbooks. But I've noticed with his, sometimes he has a lot of like dishes that can be totally plain.
Yeah.
And I think simplicity always works beautifully because it just stands out. But then sometimes he has images that are really busy, but he still manages to make it work. Like, is there a trick to using lots of elements in a photo and just having it still look good?
Yeah, I think so. You can still use lots of little elements, but make your dish the central hero. So if you're making a beautiful winter stew or something, lay beside, use a big crusty baguette, a spoon, some stacked side plates, a beautiful piece of napery or something like that. So you are using a lot of props, but they complement the main dish. You're trying to make the hero.
And how important do you think shapes are? Because I'm thinking, again, on his photos, he always has, really cool circle bowls that are kind of either all the way in the middle or he's cropped them out a little bit. And then you have, smaller bowls either side.
Yeah, definitely. That's one – that's a big rule of thumb. You would just – I wouldn't use too many squares and circles together. I think circles and oval and softer shapes work really nicely together. But
is that for food photography or all styled shots?
Probably all styled shots, really.
Okay.
Yeah. So don't use anything too harsh. Yeah. Like a really chunky square dish if you're using a beautiful soft, hand blown glass bowl or something
that. Okay. Yeah. So stick to similar themes.
Yeah.
In all sorts.
Jamie Oliver's food photography is probably the best one, I think, that, and the most well-known that everyone likes, because it's rustic. He makes the food look really, really delicious.
He does. Yeah. And so what kind of elements then? Let's just compare two styles maybe. So if Jamie Oliver does really rustic and then we think of a really modern, simplistic, clean look, what would be the elements that we could use to create both of those styles that would be different?
I think a Jamie Oliver sort of shot is more, I know he uses a lot of natural light in his shots and shoots them kind of in a kitchen or something like that. Whereas, say you go to a Michelin star restaurant website and they have photos of their dishes, they're always going to be shot in studio. And
Jamie Oliver, I've noticed he uses a lot of timber.
Yeah. So he uses more natural sort of, which I love. Every time I can't walk past a secondhand thrift shop without going in and buying something. I've got so many beaten up old props in my cupboard, it's not funny. Whereas someone if they're trying to sell a beautiful Michelin star dish, you would just use one really amazing bowl with some beautiful Scandinavian looking cutlery or something like that.
Okay. And mixing colours or stick to white.
Yeah, white or, I think a big trend you're seeing at the moment with that sort of food is that it's dished up on charcoal or black plates as well.
Oh, interesting. Okay. Yeah. So I guess the photos then, if visually we were imagining walking into Jamie Oliver's home kitchen versus walking into the restaurant, the images actually reflect the aesthetic of their brand.
Yeah, I think so. And especially with Jamie Oliver, he's really his food is something that I think everyone can aspire to cook, you know, and they can style those sorts of shoots and know that that's something they could probably do themselves.
Yeah.
Whereas if you're looking at a beautiful, sleek Michelin star styled shot, it's probably going to make you want to go to that restaurant rather than try and cook that meal yourself.
That's true. And I guess this probably relates to any product. If you can just imagine who the type of person is that you want to buy that product, are they a minimalist fashionista, you know, with really expensive home decor taste, you'll style your product in that way. Whereas if you're selling something to more of a down to earth, naturalistic mother, then you would style it with accessories that she would have.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Okay. That's a really good way to look at it. Okay. This is so good. Thank you for sharing all of this with us. Okay. So let's just say then that you had someone who has designed a beautiful product and they're wanting to take a photo. What would you say are the steps that they should take for thinking about how they're going to style it? Say putting together some ideas or looking at props they could use to then assembling it and taking the photo.
Yeah, so first of all, work out what sort of market it is that you want to sell to.
Yep.
If you're wanting to sell, say you've made some beautiful handmade ceramic glazed bowls and plates and things like that. You might want to sell those to restaurants or cafes or something like that. So you'd obviously make those more food focused,
yeah,
but while still making your product the hero. Go on the internet, get your inspiration, work out what style you want to shoot to, stick to it, don't stray too much from it, because otherwise you're just going to lose the essence of what you were wanting to do in the first place.
And how important is a background?
I think a background's really important, actually. I love going prop shopping for surfaces and all that sort of thing. There's a great studio here in Melbourne that you can go to, and they have beautiful surfaces and backgrounds that you can hire, and that's probably one of my favourite parts of the job, actually.
So how do you decide what kind of background or surface to use to match to a product?
Well, it's just, yeah, whatever takes your fancy, really. There's no hard and fast rules with that. I mean, obviously, if you're selling like a beautiful, sleek looking product, like a beautiful notebook, leather notebook or something, you'd want to go more high end. Like, it might work on a really beautiful piece of marble or slate or something like that, rather than rustic wooden floorboards.
Do you have any rules for matching texture to texture? Like, are there any textures this should not go together?
Yeah, I wouldn't put rustic floorboards with a marble
background. Okay. Yeah.
I don't think that's going to work at all, but you could put like rustic floorboards with a textured sort of fake cement wall.
Okay. Yeah. That would work. Yeah. And what about fabrics? Like, do some fabrics go better with, say, marble that wouldn't work with a floorboard? Or does it all come down to the overall style and look that we're going for?
I think it comes down to the overall. I mean, I'm a big fan of using natural linen sort of napery, because that can work either way. That can go rustic or it can go high end.
Yeah, that's a good point. Excellent. So if someone was to say, oh my goodness, I have no style.
Yeah.
What do you think are the first steps they can take to putting together images that really work well from a style point of view?
Again, hop on the internet, look for references you like, and then do a lot of test shoots.
Got it. Okay. So don't be afraid to really experiment and play.
No, play around for as long as you can or as long as time affords.
Yeah.
Because that way your natural style will emerge and you'll know what works for you and what doesn't work for you.
So similar to photography itself, like just getting really clear. And
exactly.
I guess what I like to say to people is when they're taking photos, it's about learning to pay attention to the details. So if people are assembling pieces that they love, the best way to figure out how to do it is to kind of really pay attention. Okay, what have they put together? What background have they used? How have they lit it? And then start practicing putting the elements that they like together.
Yeah, exactly. Practice makes perfect.
Definitely.
It's more just like having fun with it and seeing the natural style evolve.
Well, that's true actually, isn't it? Because we can get really caught up in like trying to make things perfect.
Yeah.
I think when it comes to sharing products online or sharing photos, the beauty of like small businesses is actually that you can put more personality, right, into your images versus like a big corporation. They have a different brand aesthetic, whereas we can sort of inject some personality. Yeah, which I think is what separates like boutique sellers from like the Kmart products or
exactly. So Kmart, I mean, a bigger retail, they're always going to have their style guide and they're going to need to stick to that within reason. Whereas, you know, as you mentioned, if you're a smaller online retailer, you can really go to town and do what you want to do that works best for your product.
That's awesome. Cool. Okay. Well, I guess to finish up then, I'd love to say just look at some photos that you've taken and maybe you could just point out to us some of the really key elements about why you think it works well and then maybe things that could have gone wrong or pushed it over the edge that wouldn't have worked well.
Oh, okay. So I think it's always good. I mean, I work with a lot of clients, so I always make sure I'm on the same page as the client before the shoot's even started, because otherwise you can just go on a complete tangent and think you're getting the right shots, but then the clients, if they're not happy with it, then that's not ideal. So a couple of examples, I've done some shoots for a candle brand here in Australia.
Yeah.
That, you know, I have a really good relationship with the girl who makes the candles, and we've kind of got a bit of a set style for them now.
Okay.
Yeah, so we're always, she'll do a shoot every 3 or 4 months, like a lifestyle shoot with her products.
Yeah.
And yeah, we'll spend a day getting some really gorgeous shots for her.
Awesome. So let's have a look at, say, this photo now.
Yep.
So talk us through this photo, why you think it really works well.
So one I'm going to talk about here is some really tricky candles to shoot. They're reflective. So it's going to be really, really hard. But what the one candle is like a beautiful rose gold and the other one's a pale pink.
Yeah.
So what I've tried to do there with the props is bring in complementary colours. So I think a bit of fauna always works well. So if you can bring in some greenery or a soft flower or something like that, can just soften the shot a little bit more.
Yeah.
So I've brought in a beautiful, like a little pink book that goes with the pink candle. It doesn't always necessarily have to make sense. It just has to look good.
Okay, that's a good point.
Yeah, it doesn't. I mean, but I think you might like to sit down with a nice candle burning while you're reading a book. I don't know.
That's true.
When I'm shooting candles, I like to make it all about the home. So I might pop in a beautiful, teacup and saucer with a little biscuit. So it's all about relaxing with your beautiful candle while you're having a cup of tea or something like that.
That is awesome. And so when you were talking about the reflective surfaces, are you just really careful how things are positioned in according to the light? So you're just paying attention to those reflections?
Yeah, well, I wouldn't put anything too close to a reflective candle because it's just going to bounce back into it and make it dark.
Yep. And then when you talk about complementary colours, what kind of so home and homely would be complementary colours. When would you use like brighter, more contrasting colours?
Yep. So I've also used those in a lot of shots as well. If your candle's quite, like, say I'm using a charcoal colour candle.
Yeah.
I might be really crazy and pop in like a neon notebook and a bright colour pen or something like that.
So there's more of a pop of colour.
Yeah, yeah. It's always good to have a pop of colour somewhere, I think.
Yeah, so not going overboard but just keeping the pop of colour, like, complementary as well. Okay. Yes.
So another shoot I've done recently is for a sock brand, like a male sock subscribing business.
Yeah.
And it's called Get Socked.
Get Socked. You just cut out a little bit then.
Get Socked. So one of the shots we did, we spent a whole day shooting socks. And this was an example of where we got on talent, but we only showed him from the knee down so you could see the socks. So you didn't see the guy's head or anything.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, so one example is we rolled out some fake turf in the studio, had his pants rolled up a little bit, showing off the sock. In the background, I've popped in like something you might take to the park. So I've popped in a baseball, a straw hat and a drink bottle.
Awesome.
Just to show that he's like out and about in his cool socks in the park.
And I kind of love that it kind of has a little bit of quirkiness to it.
Yeah, it is a little bit quirky, and we popped in a little bottle of like San Pellegrino Chianti as well, just to like give it a little bit of a quirky touch.
That's cool. And so did you take a whole series like this then with different type poses so that they've got like a range that they can use?
Yeah. So we did half a day on talent. We shot him outside against the cement wall with a skateboard, showing off the socks. We did some on the fake turf in the studio.
Okay.
We did one of him in a business suit getting out of a Porsche, you know, all that sort of thing.
Yeah.
But then the second half of the day was more flat lays.
Got it. You know? So they had that versatility between their products. So shooting outside on the fake grass out of the fancy car.
Yeah.
How did you maintain brand consistency through all those different layout setups?
The style of the shots were all quite similar. So you could tell they were all from the same brand. Plus the socks are pretty recognizable. So you're going to know that they're that brand. It's,
so when you say the style, was that the props you used or the way that you folded the pants or
what? It was more about the way they were photographed.
Got it. Okay.
So really shot from the same sort of angle
and the same perspective. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, that's a really good point, actually. Is that a really crucial element to maintaining consistency?
No, not always, I don't think. It just worked in this instance.
Well, that brings me to just another question. When you are photographing or setting up styling a product, is it really important to show it from a range of different angles?
Yeah, it can do. Generally, if I'm shooting, say I'm shooting for the candle brand, we would really only do two angles, like we'd shoot straight into and then we'd move to overhead flat lays.
Got it.
So that's pretty much all we do for those.
Mm-hmm.
And the sock brand was kind of the same, mainly shooting into from the knee down with props in the background, and then we moved on to overheads. They're the two easiest, I guess, sort of
styles,
setups to do, yeah.
But I guess too, they're the two most important ones to show off the product.
Yeah, exactly. I think a flat lay always works really well because it's really good at showing off a product.
Speaking of a flat lay, what is it that you love about flat lays and what makes a really successful flat lay?
Okay, so what I think makes a really successful flat lay is, first and foremost, lighting is really important. So I think a lot of photographers rely too much these days on post-production and think that they can just fix everything up in editing process, whereas that should only be a small portion of your shoot, really. You should be working on getting that right in the first, 80% of the shot is lighting.
Yeah.
Then I just like how creative you can be with a flat lay. As I said before, not everything has to make sense.
Mm-hmm.
So another shot I've just shown you is a flat lay again of the socks. And I've made these all color coordinated.
Ah, yes.
So I've used a beautiful bottle of Hendrix gin, a record with a blue cover.
Mm-hmm. Love that.
Yeah. So I like theming things color-wise.
Okay, yeah. So sticking to like a consistency there.
Yeah.
So it is great that you can be so consistent. So when you say getting the lighting right, what's the ideal lighting to use for a flat lay?
Oh, God, you can use any lighting.
Okay. So each lighting, as long as what? It shows off the product or?
Yeah, it's got to show off the product. You don't want too many dark patches or anything like that in a shot. You've got to show off the product.
Yeah.
But as a rule, in photography, lighting is really, really important.
Yes. Okay. To match the style of the image that you're taking.
Yeah. I don't like a really hard mm-hmm. light with a strong shadow. If you're shooting food, I don't think it makes the food look very good. So
okay, so more of a soft light, because we do talk mostly about finding soft light with just like subtle shadowing, so it gives a little bit of depth. But like you said, you don't want it to be too harsh because it can either wash out all the colors or leave really strong shadows which don't show it off.
Yeah, it just leaves a really strong shadow and doesn't make the food look that appealing.
Yeah, awesome. Okay, so for flat lays and for food photography, I guess all product photography, I mean, lifestyle is never going to have really harsh lighting. So really soft light is the more consistent one to go with.
Yeah, so I like natural light. I like when with food, I like natural light.
Yeah.
If possible.
And then for a flat lay, I guess it comes back to the same styling stuff you talked about before. It doesn't always have to make sense.
No,
pick
not
your,
at all.
Like, get some inspiration and then just have fun with, sticking to complementary colours or playing with colour themes. What about laying things out? We've got the hero, like if it's a hero product, but if we were creating like branded flat lays to put on our website, I guess we could just pick some colours that match our brand.
Yeah. If you really want to, if it's more of a branded product and showing off just that one thing, I would probably just use that, but make it on like a nice textured background.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Whereas if we're doing a nice branded flat lay, we can use different pieces that match our brand and then lay them out creatively.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
That's more of a lifestyle sort of flat lay.
Got it. Okay. So a lifestyle flat lay has props. A product flat lay is more sticking to
just the product,
Yeah. And then food, we like to like layer it in with texture and color and bits of the ingredients so that it has context.
Yeah, that's what I like.
Awesome. Cool. Well, thank you so much, Cassie, for sharing all your tips, tricks, and techniques with us. That was awesome. I definitely learned some tips there for when it comes to it. But I honestly think the biggest thing that I've taken away now is that it's actually okay to play and experiment a little bit with style. Like, I wouldn't be breaking any rules or like totally embarrassing myself if I was playing around with elements, that I can kind of find my own style a little bit.
Definitely not. Definitely not. Have fun with it. That's the main thing, I think. Just have fun and see how you go from there.
Awesome. And it sounds like being a stylist, definitely you get to have that creative outlet, which is awesome.
Yeah, really good fun.
Brilliant. Well, thank you so much.
Cool. Thank you.